what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Thank you all for being here today. We all know that a family dinner is better for your health, your mind, your family relationship. But did you know that studies show that children and teenagers who have dinner together three or more times per week are less likely to be overweight, are more likely to eat healthy foods, perform better academically, are less likely to engage in risky behaviors such as drugs, alcohol, and sexual activity, and have better relationship with their parents? To many listeners, the validity of this concept is a no-brainer. But as is the case with nearly everything, the devil is in the details. Sure, it's great to have a family dinner, but how do you do that when children are superbly busy and when both parents work outside of the home? That's when often fast food or takeout and eating on the run replace the traditional family dinner. Family dinner expert and today's show expert, Aviva Goldfarb, is a mom on a mission. Her mission is to bring back the family dinner. Through her books and online meal planning system, Aviva has spent the past 10 years helping busy families reconnect around the family table. Through her family dinner challenge, she has set a goal to get 10,000 families to commit to eating dinner together at least three times per week for 4 weeks between now and September. And she is with us today to tell us all about this and other key family dinner planning issues. Aviva, welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you. So please tell us, what made you get into the family dinner planning quest?
Well, I grew up in a house where we had dinner together almost every single day. And for me, most of my favorite memories of childhood take place around the family dinner table. So when I started a family with my husband, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do in our family as well. And when I started trying to make dinner and trying to do this with a baby and a toddler, I realized that it was much more difficult than my mom had made it seem, and I actually found the process daunting. So I ended up taking my mom's menu planning system that she had planned, you know, decades ago into the digital age as a solution for myself and for other parents who are daunted by the process of getting dinner on the table. And that's how I started the 6 o'clock scramble 10 years ago, really to help myself and to help other busy people, especially parents who want to get healthy meals on the table, but they don't have time to decide what to make for dinner, or they don't know what to make that's actually healthy, or they just find the whole process daunting. I make it super easy for them.
So you and I had this conversation offline a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned the studies at the outset of the program. Those are, again, that families with young children and teenagers, we have dinners three or four more times per week, they're less likely to be overweight, they're more likely to eat healthy foods, and so on and so forth, perform better academically, clearly the obvious, have better relationships with their parents. Those are clinical or socio-clinical, if you will, findings.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the real life stuff. Do you buy into this? How much do you buy into this?
I am a true believer. And, you know, when I started out and I had very young children, I believed that family dinner was important. But now that I have two teenagers, I know family dinner is important. It is the only time of day for our family and for many families that we are all disconnected from technology and our gadgets and computers and not racing around, and that we're actually connecting with each other and making eye contact and having real conversations. And really, a lot of things would never come up or never get discussed if it weren't for family dinner. And my kids actually really count on our dinner routine. They love it, and they help with it, and they eat just about everything now that they've been exposed to so many different foods. And it turns out that my kids aren't alone, that most kids want more family dinners. It's something that I've found in my own life and anecdotally from people I talk to, and definitely the studies bear it out that there's so many benefits, conversationally even. You know, and learning to take turns and be considerate and good table manners, which will serve people well in life and in business. All these things are things that develop socially at the family dinner table.
Indeed. Now, the socializing around dinner time, I guess I grew up in the same kind of family as you did, and I don't ever remember, unless my father was out of town, I don't ever remember a dinner or lunch, which was the important meal of the day where I grew up, with us not being there around the dinner table. And those are not only the most fond memories that I recall from my childhood, but also the memories that formed a whole lot of my thinking, guided my upbringing, and so on and so forth, because food was kind of incidental. Was the socializing, the camaraderie, the building of the relationship that lasts a lifetime, that happens around the dinner table, and the presence of food. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's something magical about that time. I really think so.
There is. So there is, today though, as we said before, there are unfortunately, an awful lot of families that don't necessarily get into that. And there are an awful lot of reasons why families don't gather around the dinner table, from the sublime to the ridiculous. And, of course, I would think that the most common reason is you've got two parents that are working. Most families nowadays are two working parent families. Children who either have after-school activities, late days, early evenings with other activities, and so on and so forth. So that window of time of sitting around the table for an hour, to many, becomes challenging. So you came up with your 6 o'clock scramble that we will talk extensively during the hour. And that is a way to not only help prepare meals, but also help make that process a whole lot easier and smoother. Tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. Well, it turns out that most people are wasting hours every week and wasting lots and lots of money by not planning ahead for their meals, or making meals that are just too complicated, or going grocery shopping too often. And they're not happy about it. And so what I realized was that if we can make a plan, and in the case of the 6 o'clock scramble, I actually give people a plan for the week of what to make for dinner and a grocery list, and people can shop once, usually on the weekends, especially if they're working during the week, then everything goes so much more smoothly, because when dinner time rolls around, they know that they have all the ingredients on hand to get a quick and healthy meal on the table. And a lot of times, a lot of our recipes are also you can make them in the slow cooker. So people can just, you know, almost literally dump the ingredients in the slow cooker in the morning. And when you come home from work or from activities and carpools, the house smells wonderful. Dinner is basically done. You might just want to steam a quick vegetable or throw together a salad. And so I just found a way to take a lot of the thinking and deciding and worrying out of the process. And it turns out that people report, our members report that they save hours every week, and they save, I think it's about $75 a week by doing this. And also they're going out to dinner less because the food is already there and planned for, and they're wasting so much less food. I know we all hate throwing out good food that we spent our hard-earned dollars on. So that's the concept behind the 6 o'clock scramble, but also it's something that anybody can do. If you just want to take, you know, a little time on the weekend and plan a few meals in advance and make a grocery list, I really encourage people to keep that grocery list kind of updated throughout the week so that you don't have to make those emergency trips to the grocery store during the week. So it's pretty simple to do. But what people tell me what they find to be most daunting about making dinner isn't actually the cooking. It is, what would you guess it is, Chris?
It isn't the cooking. I would have guessed that, but I would say that it's probably the thought that has to go into it, the just another thing to do on the list of things.
You're right. It's the what we call the deciding. You know, right. that moment when you come home and you look in the refrigerator and you say, okay, I have, you know, some cheese and I've got some tortillas and some olives. What am I going to make for dinner? So once that's out of the equation, really getting a simple, healthy, delicious meal on the table can take as little as 10 minutes. It's just that thinking that slows everything down. And if that's done in advance or done by somebody else, like the 6 o'clock scramble or another meal planning service, that can go that much smoother.
And, of course, all the information we're talking about can be found on your website, thescrumble.com, scrumble as in scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
We will also be talking about that and much more in the balance of this hour. But we already started getting questions from our listeners, and let me just take one in so that we can make this as applicable as possible.
Great.
So this listener says, I am delighted about this topic, the return of the family dinner. Viva, have you had much pushback from working parents? Can you give specific experiences persuading stressed up non-working parents to try your system?
Yes. I don't know so much about pushback, but sometimes they can feel the most daunted, although pretty much it seems like most parents, whether they're working outside the home or not, feel daunted by this process. That's one of the reasons that meal planning works so well, you know, for working parents and everybody else, because most of the planning and the shopping is done on the weekends. So then when you come home, you can immediately, and I can give people, you know, some more specific tips, but you can go immediately into just, you know, getting the recipe. I always encourage people to take the recipe out and put it on the counter in the morning if they're not doing things electronically. If they have a few minutes, maybe put it in the slow cooker or take out all the non-perishable ingredients so that everything goes that much smoother. But I have thousands of working parents that use my service and have told me that they used to, before they tried doing this, they were eating so late or they were eating too much takeout food or fast food. And one of the women said that when she started doing this and planning ahead and using the 6 o'clock scramble, she and her family were able to eat at a reasonable hour, and they were eating so much healthier, and she was losing weight, and the kids were losing weight because they were eating better, and they had time now to go for a walk after dinner, to play some games. She was using her elliptical machine again. So it's all that wasted time that is a culprit.
It all makes sense. My guest is Aviva Goldfarb, and you are listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Afasiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Aviva Goldfarb. Please visit her website, thescrumble.com. Also, in other website we'll be talking about in this segment, familydinnerchallenge.com. On Facebook, she is The 6 O'Clock Scramble, and follow her on Twitter at The Scramble. For activities on this show and other programs, please visit my website, chrisfsu.com, or cdochiefdaddyofficer.com. Well, you will find the just released second edition of my book, Chief Daddy Officer. My Facebook page is Chris FSCU, and I'm Chief Daddy Officer on Twitter. So we talked about some very interesting things just before the break, namely the value of the social value and material value, as well as nutritional, for having dinners together as a family. Now, there was a time in my life, I never was one, but because I did the very opposite. Everything in sight, I ate it, but I know that there were in the family eaters that were picky eaters. Now, doing something like that, the suggestions that you have given us, it would seem as though they will work fairly well or very well for most people, young children who are not picky eaters. But what if you don't like your broccoli or your asparagus, or you just are one of those people who just does not like to see food mixed together with other food? What do you do? What do you do then?
Well, this is one of the biggest frustrations for a lot of parents, especially with younger children, but sometimes it can last a little too long beyond when the children are very young. And I think probably almost every family has a picky eater at some point. And I know how frustrating it is. I had a very picky eater. My son was extremely picky for years. And he now is 16 years old and has been eating just about everything in sight for years. So I do talk from experience that usually there's light at the table, at the end of the table. I meant to say the end of the tunnel.
The tunnel, yeah.
But there might be light at the end of the table, too. And in fact, one of the best things that studies show that we can do to get our picky eaters trying new foods and eating more is sitting down together to eat. You know, it sort of all comes back to the same thing, because a lot of these eating habits develop socially. And if they see their older brother or sister or a family friend or their parents eating things, they're more likely to want to eat things too. And I think that, you know, many people don't realize that it takes a lot of kids 10 to 15 exposures to a new food before they will actually accept it. And what that means is just because your child says, I don't like olives or I don't like broccoli, whatever it is, once or twice, doesn't mean that you stop serving it. And you don't want to make a power struggle out of this and say you do, or just, you know, I believe in a very positive way to do it. So you just keep serving it and keep encouraging them to try it. And one of the best things that I learned to say to my kids, if they said they didn't like something, I'd say, well, give it a try, you know, one bite, because your taste buds mature as you get older. So just because you didn't like it last time doesn't mean that you won't like it this time. And, you know, if they say they don't like something, I would also say that about the future. Well, next time maybe you'll like it because your taste buds are always maturing. So it's just one of those things that sometimes people give up too early, as in many things in life. And there's, you know, you can also make things sort of fun, making broccoli, you know, silly faces if you're okay with a little silliness at the table. My husband used to tell our kids that green beans made their fingers very strong. And so if they ate 10 green beans, their fingers would be strong enough that they could push him over at the table. So they would hurry to eat their 10 green beans, and they would go over, and sure enough, they'd be able to push him over. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we could do when our kids were little. Probably not so much now.
Exactly, yeah. It will hurt somebody. Dad.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, but it was, you know, the fun and keeping things positive and light and not putting a lot of pressure on them that you have to eat this much food before you can have dessert. Or, you know, what I try to remind people and remind myself is that really we want the dinner table to be a positive place and a place of developing good memories and good eating habits. And if we look at sort of the long term, not just this meal, but just what kind of environment do we want to have at our dinner table, and making things fun and positive and not making it all about the food and how many bites of this or that did you eat. But, you know, some other things that you can talk about, and, you know, one of the questions someone asked me recently that you can ask your kids at the table is, if you had some superpower, what would it be? Or, you know, all sorts of fun things that you can talk about besides the food that you're eating. And another fun thing to do is actually to have them try to guess what's in something that they're eating. So, you know, maybe they can say, what do you smell? What do you see? And they can help you sort of, you know, that gets them interested in cooking and preparing food as well. So there's lots of different ways, and I have a lot more ways on my website about how you can overcome your child's picky eating habits, or even your spouse's picky eating habits. That's often a problem for people, too.
And that website address is?
Oh, thescramble.com.
Wonderful.
So, and you'll see some tips there for coping with picky eaters.
Excellent. So let's just switch directions now, and that doesn't have with anything to do with picky eaters, but it has to do with kids who don't necessarily have enough time, the classic time for dinner. Maybe sports practices, maybe other activities. But in sports practice, it isn't only a time thing. It's also a nutritional requirement thing. Mm. So what advice would you have for them?
Yep, that's another something that I hear from a lot of parents, and I have faced it with two athletes. I have definitely faced this myself, too. And so sometimes eating dinner together every night or most nights just isn't going to work for every member of the family. But what I tell people to do is try to think outside the box a little bit and not be too rigid. So maybe sometimes one father and one child can sit down and eat dinner together. Or maybe Sunday night is going to be your big family dinner night where everybody tries to be there no matter what, or a couple of nights a week. Or maybe you're going to sometimes eat a very early dinner together with a couple of you, and maybe sometimes the athletes are going to come home and sit down and have their dinners late, and you're all going to sit down and maybe everyone else will have just a bowl of fruit and some whipped cream or something. So I think that there are ways to get around this. And another thing some families do is they have breakfast together instead. So there are ways that we can still have this mealtime experience together without it being everybody every single night at the same time. So I do encourage people to try to build some flexibility into their routines, because life just, you know, it isn't like that for most of us, that every night we could be sitting down, all of us, at the exact same time.
Makes sense. So you have a lofty goal, 10,000 families to have 3-plus meals per week for 4 weeks straight between now and September?
Yes, and I could really use your help with that goal.
Well, here's your platform. Talk to us about it.
great. So I am celebrating this month my 10-year anniversary since I started my business. So I've been doing this for 10 years. Thank you. So I wanted to do something really special to mark my 10th anniversary, and not a party or, you know, a big meal or anything. I really wanted to, you know, I believe in the power of family dinners. I really wanted to spread that as widely as possible. So I decided to create a family dinner challenge and try to get 10,000 families to commit, as you said, to eating dinner together at least 3 times a week for 4 weeks between now and the end of September. And so if you go to familydinnerchallenge.com, people can sign up for free to take the challenge, and they get everything they need, including the recipes and the plans and the grocery lists and lots of other great tips and information to make it possible for them. And they get a chart that they can fill out with the family dinners that they eat for that month together. And when they complete the chart, they send it to us, and we tell them how. It's very easy. And first of all, we're going to be really happy that they did it, and we're going to be really, really happy if we hit my goal of 10,000. Right now, we're under 4,000. And they are going to be eligible to win some fantastic prizes for the people who complete the challenge, like a Vitamix and a Cuisinart and a rice cooker and a Le Creuset French oven and online fitness program and just some other really cool things, easy lunch boxes for perfect for back-to-school time. So there's really no downside, even if this is something that your family already does. If you already believe in family dinners and you're eating together almost every night, I still want people to take the challenge to share the commitment together. And if it's something that you're not doing but you aspire to do, this is a great chance to start.
And the website for doing that challenge again is?
FamilyDinnerChallenge.com.
All right, to all of my listeners, you heard the website, familydinnerchallenge.com. We should all go there and log in and help Aviva make that challenge the goal a reality. And, of course, you will, too, benefit out of that, not only because of the prizes that may be at hand, but because you're going to make your challenges kind of easier to deal with, because that's an important thing dealing with family togetherness and family feeding and caring.
And of course, the biggest prize is that, is just the time that you're going to spend with your family and the relationships that are going to grow out of doing so.
Exactly. So we're coming on pretty close to a break, but we have another question from one of our listeners. Let me let's see if we can get this question in before the break. If not, we will finish it up afterwards. This comes from Helen in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she says, "Kudos to your guest for promoting the return of family dinner. I believe it can only bond families, but not only bond families, but also help society as a whole. Aviva, what do you recommend to families with one child that requires gluten-free foods?" Isn't that an interesting question?
It's completely interesting and completely common. There is often one or more family members who have special dietary needs. In my family, my daughter's a vegetarian. It's something that I believe that we can really, there's a couple different ways to approach it. In some families...
May I ask this, because this is an important answer to a very important question. Let's go take a short break, and I want the answer to be heard in full and uninterrupted. So
it's a cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger. So stay with us. My guest is Aviva Goldfarb. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu with my guest, Aviva Goldfarb. Please visit her website, thescrumble.com, as well as take the challenge in her website under the name familydinnerchallenge.com. On Facebook, she is the 6 o'clock Scrumble, and on Twitter, The Scrumble. Before the break, we had a question from one of the listeners that she started to answer, and I interrupted her so that our sponsors can get their words in. But let's read the question one more time. It came from Helen from Charlotte, North Carolina, and Helen says, "Kudos to your guests for promoting the return to family dinner. I believe it can not only bond families but help society as a whole. Aviva, what do you recommend to families that with one child that requires gluten-free foods?"
Yes, so it's a great question, and I know it is so frustrating for families when they have somebody in the family with a special diet. It's extra challenging, but I think that a lot of families have that. I was saying, I know in my family, my daughter's been a vegetarian for several years, and these things take a little getting used to at first. Fortunately, it's great when you realize, you know, that someone in your family has celiac or has a gluten intolerance, because of course they feel a lot better when you can feed them the right foods. And there's a couple of different approaches that families can take, and it would be interesting to hear which one your family takes. But one of them is the whole family could eat a gluten-free diet, especially at the meals that you're eating together. So that's what we do in my family, is we primarily eat a vegetarian diet when we're together, except one night a week. So that's a possibility. And with the 6 o'clock scramble recipes, it's really easy to do because we use so many fresh, unprocessed foods. And there's a lot of gluten-free brands when you do need to use something like noodles or, sauces that are available now, because this has become, such a widely known intolerance. So it's not too hard to do. And also with the 6 o'clock scramble, you can search for recipes that are only wheat and gluten-free and only include those in your weekly plan and your grocery list. So it's a very customizable plan based on your dietary needs and your dietary preferences as well. So the other solution is to do some combination where maybe some days you have some gluten-free meals that everybody eats, and some days some of the family eats some products with gluten, and you have some foods that your daughter can eat. And maybe when you make the gluten-free meals, you make a little extra, and she can add those to whatever meal you're making. And I know with my daughter, we always have something in the freezer or something that I've made before or bought that's vegetarian for those nights that I do prepare something with meat. And she can, you know, we can all eat the same side dishes together those nights. So it's challenging, but it's very doable, and it all, I still think, goes back to the plan and everybody being part of the plan, the family, you know, being part of this process. And really, a lot of children with dietary needs or without dietary needs might get involved in the cooking process. And maybe there's a great, she can help you choose the recipes that you're going to use and help you prepare the recipes and help find her favorite products that are gluten-free. So this can be a family kind of mission together.
And that all sounds all too familiar to me because, as I said to you off the air, my daughter is gluten intolerant, and much of what, if not all of what you suggested, we've been through that. Of course, she became gluten intolerant when she was in college and early college, so we didn't really have the opportunity to switch the family onto a gluten-free diet throughout. But after graduation, where she lived home for 3 months, the entire family went on a gluten-free diet. And I can tell you that it isn't a bad thing. Now, today, it's a whole lot easier to find gluten-free foods and ingredients, and as well as prepared or semi-prepared foods, than it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, I remember when she was in college, I became very proficient at baking her gluten-free bread because the one that you could find at the market was like a brick, and it tasted like a brick too. So it was because there was a gluten-free substitute did not mean that that was edible, enjoyable, whatever. So it was a lot more work doing that several years ago than it is today. Today, there are many, many bakeries and in several restaurants that would have gluten-free sections on their menu that they're absolutely delicious foods. As a matter of fact, oftentimes when we all go out together, I would pick from that side of the menu because I know it's probably going to be lighter and for sure it will be healthier. Although I've got to say, I still have very much of a yearning for some really freshly baked bread and those kinds of things. But you know, this is not to take the whole family off just because one person cannot eat it. Eat something, but or has a preference toward not eating something, as the case of a vegetarian. But it isn't as much of a sacrifice as one would think that it is. As a matter of
absolutely,
fact,
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's rather easy.
And actually, one of the things that I've always been interested in doing for people that don't eat meat is developing really easy, healthy, and family-friendly meatless recipes that aren't all pasta. So that's one of the things that I really enjoy. It's a challenge for me, and I love sharing those recipes with people. So that's another one of my passions.
Yeah, that's a terrific point as well.
And the same with, you know, gluten-free. There's just some wonderful options out there, and it doesn't have to always be. You know, part of what happens when you don't plan ahead for your family's meals and your menus is you end up eating the same thing a lot. And so what's nice is when you do plan ahead, either using the 6 o'clock scramble or using your own cookbooks or however you do it, you get more variety in there.
Indeed. Let me go back to something that you had said a little bit at the early part of the show. You said that I believe that you have recipes and or suggestions on your website that you can save time and money, like something like $75 a week for doing some simple tweaks to your dinner routine. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that I'm sure you and your listeners are familiar with is that Americans waste far too much food. Recent studies have shown, anywhere depending on which study you follow, that we waste from 20 to 50% of the food that we buy, that's produced, that's shipped, that's packaged, and it's just this huge waste of money, of environmental resources. And so, you know, it all kind of comes back to the same thing, but by planning ahead and cooking more meals at home, you're going to waste a lot less food, because when people shop without a list, which about, I think a recent study found that a third of people shop with no grocery list and half of them shop with no plan. And when you do that, you're just buying a bunch of things, but you're not going to end up using them all unless you're very creative in the kitchen because, you know, you're going to fall back on making the same things and have a lot of leftovers. So by meal planning, people can save a lot of money and waste a lot less food, and they'll go out to dinner less and order out less. The other thing that I recommend people do, let's say you look at your calendar before you plan your meals and you see that you're going to be home for five meals. Well, sometimes what I recommend is you plan for four meals then, because that gives you one night at the end of the week to do something with all those odds and ends that are left over, to turn it into a stew or a quesadilla or a pasta or frittata, and, you know, stretch that weekly shopping trip into one more meal. So those are a couple ways, and I just wanted to give you an example of a recipe that's on this week's menu that only takes 10 or 15 minutes to put together, you know, doesn't cost much at all, and it's a perfect summary recipe. Because you were asking me about how can we have recipes that take less time to heat a frozen pizza.
Correct.
So one of the recipes that I'm featuring this week, people rave about, and it's called panzanella. It's an Italian bread salad, and of course you can use your gluten-free bread there, Chris.
That's right.
With salami, and if you don't eat salami, you can make it with mozzarella cheese instead, or your favorite cheese. And it's just a couple of diced up tomatoes and a cut up cucumber and a quarter of a thinly sliced onion and 4 ounces of either meat or cheese and some fresh basil. Toss that all together with some day old bread, crusty bread that you cut into cubes. And you make a quick dressing with some balsamic vinegar and olive oil and a touch of sugar or agave or whatever you like to sweeten with, and a little salt. And you let that all soak together for a few minutes so everything absorbs the flavors. And you have this beautiful one-dish summery meal, which, believe it or not, kids love too.
And I've not seen your recipe on your website. I'm going to log on as soon as we're off the show. But us Greeks have a similar salad called the kukuvaya salad, which is exactly that. It's just a whole lot of fresh vegetables, namely tomatoes and some onions and so on and so forth. But the all of that is set on top of some day-old bread. That's kind of crusty.
And with feta cheese, I'm guessing.
Of course.
That tonight for dinner, believe it or not.
Of course. And some extra virgin olive oil, some balsamic vinegar on top of that. You know, who needs meat when you have that kind of healthy, wholesome eating, which incidentally, besides it being healthy and all of that, it's incredibly light.
Light and inexpensive. And
yes.
This time of year when these ingredients are so fresh, you just don't need to do much of them. It's one of my favorite time to cook with all these. I have fresh tomatoes from my neighbor's garden and fresh herbs from my garden. And to make it fun, sometimes we'll recommend a little light and easy dessert. So this with that meal, we recommend a non-fat vanilla frozen yogurt with a fresh raspberry sauce that takes about 5 minutes to make, and it's simply delicious, and it's sweetened with orange juice.
That's a wonderful rounding to a very nice.
Yeah, so a great summery meal, and that
yes.
whole thing with the dessert will probably take you 20 minutes to put together.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but as we discussed it at the very beginning, to me, any kind of meal, because as you know, much of my daughter's upbringing I did as a single dad, I was very big on cooking meals and the two of us sitting across from each other at a table and so on and so forth. It never bothered me to go to the store and buy the food. It never bothered me to cook the food. But I will tell you, it was a pain in the neck thinking of what am I going to cook now?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the planning that you talked about. And I wish I knew about your site, or your site was available back then. But better late than never, it is available now, thescrumble.com. And all our listeners could go there and get all the good recipes and wisdom, and also enter the challenge,
familydinnerchallenge.com.
We'll talk about that and much more when we come back from a short break. My guest is Aviva Goldfarb. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. We'll be back in a moment.
News.
opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epiciu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epiciu. My guest is Aviva Goldfarb. Please visit her website, thescramble.com, as well as familydinnerchallenge.com, where you can take the family dinner challenge yourself. On Facebook, she is The 6 O'Clock Scramble and The Scramble on Twitter. While we've been having fun talking about all kinds of great summer recipes, we also have another email. This comes from Lewis from Colorado Springs. And Lewis asks, our family treasures our family dinners, and we are a blended family of adult kids. What is the best way for your listeners to help promote your goal of 10,000 signing up for the Family Dinner Challenge?
Lewis, thank you so much for trying to help me. I really appreciate it. And do you want me to jump right into answering that, right, Chris?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what we did was we set things up with a social media age in mind. I don't know if you're active or not on social media, Lewis. So you could use the traditional means if not. But if you are, when you take the challenge, which again is free and is going to give you free access for a month to the 6 O'Clock Scramble and lots of great recipes and grocery lists, as soon as you take it, we give you a little badge that you click on and you post to Facebook to tell your friends that you just took the challenge and you want them to take it too. So that's just one way to make it really easy for you to share. Otherwise, you can tell people, you can email people, you can however you communicate with people. But we really would appreciate you helping us get the word out. And I'm also doing shows like this and the Today Show and newspapers and trying to get the word out that way as well.
That's wonderful. So nothing really gets the word out better than something that somebody can taste. And, of course, that's a play on words. You know, I'm going to ask you to give our listeners at least one more easy-to-do recipe. And if you will, tell us why, stage it for us, why you're suggesting the recipe you're suggesting and what are its advantages, whether it will be economic, nutritional, both.
So I have a recipe. I have probably over 1,000 recipes that I've developed over the years. But I thought of one for your listeners that is something that they might have everything on hand tonight and they could just make it tonight. And it's super easy. Kids love to make it and love to eat it. It takes about 5 minutes to put together. And it's just a real fun, flexible recipe. So I call these tortilla pepperoni pizzas. And you simply take, of course, if you're gluten-free, you can use gluten-free tortillas. Simply take whole wheat tortillas or flour tortillas, and you brush them with a little olive oil, and preheat the oven to 400 degrees first, and sprinkle a little fresh garlic or garlic powder on there, too, and spread a little bit of tomato sauce or even fresh crushed tomatoes on there, and sprinkle a little reduced-fat mozzarella cheese or whatever kind of cheese you like on there. And if you have pepperoni, turkey, or traditional or vegetarian pepperoni, which actually is not bad, or, you know, onions or mushrooms, but just don't overload it. Keep it really light. And you put them right, each person has their own little pizza, and you put them right on the grates of the oven, not on a baking sheet or anything, to get them extra crispy for just about 3 or 4 minutes until they get just a little browned and a little crispy, and you pull them on there. And if you don't want them to get crispy, then you can do it on a baking sheet. But we like them this way. We've tested them both ways. And so it's just a fun, easy, flexible, kid-friendly, family-friendly recipe for your listeners to make tonight.
And what would they have for dessert with that?
Oh, well, we don't always eat dessert. We only eat dessert once a week in our house, generally. But what I recommend serving with this one to make it extra healthy, since there aren't a lot of veggies on the pizza, I recommend serving this with carrot and celery sticks with peanut butter so that you get some extra protein and vegetables in there. And it's just another thing that'll be so easy, a really super simple, easy side dish that's really family-friendly. So this is just like a... you're so busy when you get home, you only have 10 minutes kind of meal.
And, you know, what I grew up, which our listeners know is in Greece, at that time, dessert was once or twice a month, if at that. And that was a special occasion. Dessert in the way that we have it, we know it to be today, something sweet, something typically high in calories and so on and so forth, but something that tastes delicious. But we had dessert every day, and our dessert was fruit.
Fruit, the perfect dessert.
And you know, of course, in season, here and there, there are tremendously good, tasteful kinds of, you know, all kinds of fruit that it doesn't really matter what your taste buds are like. You'll be hard-pressed not to find one you like.
And you can get creative if you want and toss it with a little fresh mint and lime juice and or vanilla yogurt. Or there's different ways if you want to that you can get creative with it. But fruit is so perfect in itself.
Exactly. And here's my attempt of sharing a recipe. One of the most interesting desserts that I remember, and that happened, of course, in the summertime because it was oppressively hot and because watermelon is in season. Oftentimes, we will make a light dinner or certainly a snack out of that, and that would be as much watermelon as you wanted to consume with some feta cheese.
I love that combination.
And, you know, when it became kind of an interesting dessert in the States a few years ago, I was kind of chuckling about that, and it's like, well, you know, here's one of those things that my taste buds were trained on.
I didn't realize that originated in Greece, because that was the hot salad of last year or the year before.
Come on now, feta cheese, where else can it originate?
Of course, what was I thinking?
Exactly. So a couple minutes we have left, this time has flown by, which usually happens when you're having fun. Give us, actually 1 minute we have left. Give us your pitch about the Family Challenge. Where do people go? Family Dinner Challenge. Where do people go? Where do they sign up?
Well, so once again, it is free, and I would so appreciate you joining us, thefamilydinnerchallenge.com, and you get lots of goodies when you sign up, including all the recipes and menu plans you need. And when you complete the challenge, which just means eating dinner with your family at least 3 times a week, you are eligible for some fantastic prizes that will make your dinner times go even more smoothly, some great appliances and other fun things to make your life in the kitchen even easier and more fun.
That's wonderful. Aviva, thank you so very much for being part of the show. It was fun, it was delightful, and it was very helpful, I know, to me and to many parents listening.
Thank you so much. I hope you and your listeners have a wonderful dinner tonight. I'm about to go make my Greek salad when we get off the phone.
Well, good for you. And right after that, we will all go into your site, the Family Dinner Challenge, and sign up.
Thank you. I've already seen some of your listeners signing up. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Next week, we'll talk about the making of a young entrepreneur with 13-year-old entrepreneur Gabrielle Williams and her mom and manager, Marcella Williams. So do join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Afasiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Afasiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.